Welcome to Brass Tax Sunday for July 22nd. I'm Sanka Price, your moderator for today's program, in which we examine this disturbing issue of violence and bad behavior in our society. We will be examining what could be contributing to this phenomena, with a special look at poor education performance plays. And we'll be taking a critical look at how this continuing spiral of violence and bad behavior is impacting everyday life today. To help us to do this, we have in the studio with us youth leader Roshana Trim. And we hope to be joined soon on the telephone by a veteran attorney at law. Roshana, welcome.
Thank you, and good morning to you and everyone who's listening.
Of course, you can participate in today's program by calling us at 434-1790. You can also contribute your ideas via WhatsApp at 266-4862. Our producer and the first voice you will hear when you call us is Mr. Dennis Johnson. And as usual, today's special program is brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated.
For building supplies, big or small, and Williams Metals, we have it all. Angles, flats, cement and doors, lumber, windows and much, much more.
Get all your lumber needs from us. We have number one treated pine, all different types of plywood, V-joint, siding board and concrete board. In addition, we have grade 3 2x4s and form ply for boxing.
Big or small, and Williams Metals, we have it all. And Williams Metals, we have it all.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Welcome back to Brass Tax. I'm Sanka Price with Roshana Trim, the president of the Barbados Youth Development Council. And we're talking today about the situation of violence. And much of the violence in today's Barbados is perpetrated, of course, by a lot of young people. And that's why Roshana is here as well, to give that perspective. But of course, it's not just young people involved. It's when you read the court pages, you can see that a number of people over 30, over 40, over 50s, they're also involved with crime. And that's why we're hoping to have this veteran attorney here who would have been involved with criminal cases from over 40 years ago coming right up to today. And to give a different perspective, because, you know, normally we would have psychologists and psychiatrists looking at this situation. But the reality is that when you sit and speak with people who would be involved in the criminal justice system, like an attorney, especially one with vast experience, you get an appreciation of how some of these guys actually think, why they do what they do. And why this topic is so important is because when you think about it, if there is one single issue that can derail all we're trying to achieve here in Barbados, is violence and this rowdiness that we have in our society today. No matter how much we fix our economic problems, and we know how substantial they are, the fact is it can be easily derailed through violence. We had last year, of course, at Cropover, I mean, the marquee event, Kaduma Day, we had that shooting. And, you know, people are still talking about it as if it happened yesterday, because it was unprecedented what occurred. You know, I mean, what would possess anyone to shoot in a crowd? You know, I mean, that's something you see on television. But you would never think something like that would happen in Barbados. But it happened, okay? And then, we're talking here now about the ongoing bad behavior, indifference to authority. We just have to look this week. Two men who both charged, they were in court, they were in the dock, they were in handcuffs, and yet they fought. A total indifference to law and order. I mean, you in court, in front of the magistrate, in the dock, in handcuffs, but yet you could fight with somebody else? That, to my mind, is the height of it. I mean, again, we had the case where, and this is ongoing, so I can just gradually, just briefly mention this, where a young man was stopped and searched, and he was found carrying a weapon into court. Why was he doing carrying a weapon to court? I mean, if we have come to that level, where are we going? We've had so far this year 17 murders, and I was trying to get the comparative figure, but I'm not. I really don't can't say if it's a little bit above. I think it is, but I'm not sure. So I really shouldn't say that. But the whole point about it is that with the murders and the shootings, it makes people feel unsafe, especially how they're happening. Now, we also had at the same time heard that the police force is 200 plus members short. So the workload would be tremendous on those people, those officers who are already involved, because you're having a greater, seeming to have a greater number of incidents taking place, while at the same time, you don't have the amount of people to do the job, right? And we know that the police suffer from a high level of stress and burnout because they have a very demanding job. We were hoping, actually, this whole program was planned around with the police, but I must say that at the last minute they had to pull out because the Commissioner of Police, Tyrone Griffith, they'll be holding a press conference tomorrow at 10:30. The Commissioner is expected to give his half yearly report, as well as speak to security for Cropova. So that will be coming, and hopefully we will be able to stream it live here on Brass Stacks. I'm getting down to Brass Stacks tomorrow, Monday. But just getting down to our program now, we made the point of the whole thing of education, and it's something that I want to explore because there was a study that was undertaken back in October 2017 by the senior research officer with the Criminal Research and Planning Unit, Kim Ramsey, and she undertook this study at the Dodds prisons. And she says surveyed half of the 900 prisoners there at the time, and 60% of those inmates had either dropped out or were expelled from school. And just to read this part of the report very briefly, just about one in three respondents left school at the end of their school tenure, but 32% dropped out and 28% were expelled. When we look at this collectively, 63% of all respondents left school without qualifications, including those that did so for financial reasons and those that were expelled. This is a significant portion of respondents, and it is an issue that must be addressed by educational officials because most of these persons go on to commit crime and end up in the criminal justice system. Now, of course, the link between lack of education and criminality is well known. But when you think that 60% of the inmates had either dropped out or expelled from school, that gives you clearly shows that link. Okay? And then we see on the streets in Barbados every single day this level of this trend, I should say, of bad behavior. And that's why one of the things I want to look at today is how it is impacting everyday life. It's not just the shootings and the stabbing, the extreme violence. I'm also talking about the general bad behavior, because that has implications for our general security as we ordinary citizens enjoy ourselves at fets in this Cropova. How people conduct themselves. I mean, you're driving on the road these days. You stop at the major stop. You're driving the car. You stop at the major stop. A man on a bicycle comes and goes through the major stop. And he on a bicycle, you know. And he goes through a major stop. Those who drive know what I'm talking about. You see it all the time. Like if somehow the bicycle has more protection than a car body. But they do it all the time. Why? Why is there this indifference to rules of law? Roshana, I'm sorry, but I'm going to throw that question at you.
Well, right off the bat, first thing I want to say is that the young people who we see perpetuating crime that is a minority, there are over 60,000 young people in Barbados. And
young to what age? When you say young, up to what age?
That age is to 29. That was in the 2017 national census. Mm-hmm. Or, sorry, 2016 national census is just about 60,000 young people. And so what we see on in media, young people perpetuating crime on Facebook and that sort of stuff, that is a minority of young people between the ages of 14 and 29. And having said that, I think that what we have seen manifest is certain failures of a society as it relates to socialization and making sure that persons feel included. And as a result, what we get are acts of crime and violence. We get this selfishness because now everyone believes that they're fending for themselves. So it is about me because I feel as if I need to get as much as I can get. So I don't really care about the next person. It's not about you. What's happening is not a you me problem. It is a you problem. So me driving through the stop and just acting as if I do not care is about me getting where I need to go. I have no regard for you or how that affects you or perhaps not even my life because I figure you're going to stop in time. So I think it has to do with us as a society having cracks within socialization and inclusion to make persons feel as if they are accountable. And I think that's when that's missing, this level of accountability that persons felt for not only self but for other persons as well.
As president of the Youth Council, Youth Development Council, and you hear people talk about, well, first of all, when you see young men and young women behave in what can be considered less than admirable, how do you feel as a young person yourself?
So before I say that, as a president of Youth Council, I have to talk about the fact that I grew up in Britain's Hill and Bayland. Mm-hmm. So coming from that background and having gone to school at Bay Primary, which was seen as perhaps one of those less desirable primary schools, the one of the first things that I know is that in particular neighborhoods and being raised in particular environments and even being having attended specific schools, there is almost a kind of, I don't want to say neglect, but persons expect a specific behavior from you. And I think some young people fall victim to the cycle that we have, particularly as it relates to low income areas and poverty and that sort of stuff. And for me, when I see young people behave in specific ways, I feel as if there is potential that Barbados misses in these behaviors, but I also, as a young person who is involved in youth development, I wonder how can I address this behavior. So I believe what I see in them is potential to create a young contributing citizen. So I don't necessarily feel, oh, this young person is awful, but because I'm mindful of their circumstances and where they might have come from and what might have led to this and why they might have gone down this path, recognizing that everybody doesn't have these safe environments as it relates to a home and a family and a listening ear. And school might not always have to be the best environment because we have schools that are not the best environment. And that's something that we need to address within the education system and for them to feel included. So for me, within from where I come from as well as the president of the Youth Development Council, I take into mind all of this, and in my mind I frame an idea that this person has fallen away or acts this way because things have happened that have led them to act like this.
I find what you said I understand, but since we're so a few generations between us, mm-hmm. I still find it difficult to understand why people who supposedly, you suggest that, okay, you come from a certain environment. Now, the Bayland, that's the hometown of our living national hero.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And he grew up in that area and literally was a product for that area, because I remember interviewing him years ago even before he actually had the honor bestowed mm-hmm. on him. And one of the things that he always emphasized is that at that time, those around him, those older people around him, were the ones who would encourage him to do something positive. So from where I sit, I think it's a case where the older persons in communities are not doing that like they used to do it, as against saying that, oh, you come from this area and that area and it is bad and it's a bad area. That's my 2 cents worth on that. How do you respond to that?
You know, so I had this friend and she lived in a specific area, and one of the things her mother said was that she found it difficult to get a job when she put a specific address on the paper, on her CV, because when persons saw her address, they automatically associated her with a specific type of behavior. And in specific communities across Barbados, like I said, there are expectations for persons who live in these communities. And a lot of times what you have are persons who emerge as the exception and not necessarily the rule, mm-hmm. which then has to be a question of the community itself. But we've also had conversations where we've heard persons say continuously that we have kind of left that mentality where the village raises the child. Mm-hmm. So now, like I mentioned earlier, it's every man for himself. It's not about my next door neighbor, or it's not about how do I assist the child who might have a parent that can't give them the time to help them in specific ways. It's really about me and mine and making sure that we are good. And I think that that is one of the things that we lack today, that I hear persons talk about of older generations, which is that the village raised the child. Everybody saw themselves as important in making sure that young people were able to grow and develop into outstanding citizens. So you had that support, that external extended family support, where now in 21st century, 2018 Barbados, to a certain extent, that is missing. And that community spirit and that community feeling is something that I think if we get that back, and we get those positive influences in communities to really share with young people and try to mentor young people, then you're going to start to see a change.
Interesting. Don't forget 4341790, that's our number. And of course you can WhatsApp us at 266-4862. And we're looking at the disturbing issue of violence within our society and the bad behavior, the general trend of bad behavior. Why is it happening in particular? How is the poor education results, how does that play a part in it? And most important, how it impacts people on a day-to-day basis. You say you grew up in that area. On a day-to-day basis, how based on the reaction of family, friends, associates, how do they talk about how the behavior of young people in particular is impacting on them in terms of the way people just behave in general in public?
We always hear the discussions of young people ain't got no manners, young people nowadays, I know what's wrong with them, this generation lost, generation going to hell in a handbasket, generation want praying for, we need to carry them back to church. So you hear all of these discussions coming from persons, obviously, about young people, and that is the feedback. For me, usually, I always point to make the other factors that may lead persons to behave this way, but I also ask persons to take a look at themselves and what they might have done or how they reacted to the situation as well, as it relates to dealing with young people who are a bit more aggressive or who may be disrespectful to a certain extent. And so I think that when we look at young people and how young people behave, we also have to introspect ourselves and what part we have played, because sometimes I find that older persons are disrespectful, and older persons do have this attitude that sometimes may be frustrating, and I think that's something that we need to explore as well. I'm not a fan of when discussions simply lead to young people being wayward or bad behaved, but really and truly, what part did you plan? If you played no part, how did you seek to correct that behavior or address that behavior? Because there has to be more than just this bad behavior, young people. That is bad behavior, young person. That is not the beginning, and that definitely does not need to be the end. So what we deal with a lot of times are this: the results. We don't deal with the factors that led to something happening.
So what's your take on why the level of behavior is the way it is?
I think there's several things. One, there has been our education system has not changed. A lot of things have changed in society over the past decades. So many things have changed. The way how we interact has changed. The influx of technology, the way how young people learn has changed. So many things have changed. But what we haven't done is that we haven't adapted our education, or we didn't do it quickly enough to absorb the realities for young people. So you have young people who are battling with mental health issues, but to a larger extent, many persons in our communities don't really want to address mental health issues because those are taboo. You have persons who, young people, learn differently. Everyone isn't a academic person. But what we have is a school system that really, for the past few decades, have exalted being a academic. So if you're not good at math and English and all the other subjects, and you don't want to become a lawyer or a doctor or whatever else, then you aren't as successful or somehow inadequate. So like you mentioned before, a lot of the persons who came out of school were a lot of the persons that went to prison, those persons had been expelled. Were they expelled for bad behavior? Was this bad behavior as a result of them not paying attention in class? Was it that they weren't paying attention because they weren't being taught in a way that kept their attention? So I think education and how we raise children and socialization has a big part to play in what we are seeing resulting in crime and violence.
All right, let's take this call on the line. Good morning, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Young lady, I would like to know how old you are, if you don't mind telling me.
I'm 23 years old.
Mm-hmm. I am 70. I was born and bred in the Bayland, which is Bayville now. There are some decent people from Bayville area. Most of them gone overseas. And there's still some decent ones in the Bayland, as you call it. But I want you to know that there are people that come from other lands. I ain't calling a country name, other lands, and came into the Bayland. And that is where the whole trouble started. They bring a different culture, vulgarity, and everything. So I don't like the idea you painting the Bayland black.
No.
0 years I live in the Bayland. I'm not living out there now. It is not a slum area. They had decent people from the Bayland and still have.
Ma'am, that is not what I'm saying. I wouldn't.
People hear you on the air. They was talking about the Bayland like it's a slum area. I feel offended. That is the gospel.
Ma'am, well, I apologize, but what I want to say is that my intention was never to paint the Bayland black. I know a lot of young people or a lot of persons who come from the Bayland who are very successful. What I was saying is that there are communities in Barbados, and I know because that was one of the areas that I grew up in, where persons expect certain behaviors, not to say that that is what is what
they
results.
Had elderly people, young people, all of us used to go to church. We went to the school, everything, the church you can think about. But it's the ones that came into our area that changed it.
Like I said,
bring a different culture in our area. A lot of vulgarities. When I was living out there, they had my children, 5 poor children. I never allowed them to mix because I saw what was going on. And I moved out. And the police never had none of my children. My children love to work. Nobody never complained about my children, say that they're common or anything like that. So I don't know. When you speak it, you got to speak in a wider range instead of just putting it like if it's a slum area. You know, a degree don't make you be able to speak for the whole area. So, curb your tongue with that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. you were going on to make the point of the whole thing of education, not everyone being an academic, and why some people would have been expelled from school and whatnot. One of the interesting things, again, from the research put together by Kim Ramsey, was that the majority of the girls who left school, incarcerated, a lot of the women who were incarcerated, the majority of them said that they would have, it says 50% of all girls said they dropped out compared to 31% of the males, right? And so girls were more likely to suggest that they left school for financial or family reasons. And she went on to make the point, while noting that low education and attainment and criminal offending have historically been linked, the criminal justice expert further explained that of the 438 prisoners surveyed, only 15% had received some level of vocational education, compared to 12% with O levels and 2% with university degrees. So we have 7 in 10 inmates sitting in our prison who left school with no qualifications. I repeat that. 7 out of every 10 inmates at Dodds left school with no qualification. And that's the importance of the educational aspect. But before we go to you, let's just take this call that's on the line. Good morning. You are on Brass Tacks.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I am not 100%, but I'm thankful to be alive.
That's good. Go right ahead with your question.
Yes. It's not really a question. I would like to back the last caller, because I was from the Baylan and I achieved much. And they're not only my one, but there are many of us, right, besides Sir Gary, right? Mm-hmm. And then too, there's a question I would like to ask Miss Trim, is if she originated or her family originated from Tobago.